Monk Kid hails from the small town of Sylvester, Georgia, a place that deeply influenced her first novel, The Secret Life of Bees. She graduated from Texas Christian University and later took creative writing courses at Emory and Anderson College. Her book, When the Heart Waits, was published in 1990 and became a touchstone on contemplative spirituality. In 1996, she published The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, describing her journey into feminist theology. Kidd then turned her attention to writing fiction. When her first novel, The Secret Life of Bees, was published in 2002, it spent more than 2.5 years on the New York Times bestseller list. Her second novel, The Mermaid Chair, was also a bestseller. Today we'll be speaking with Sue about her third novel, The Invention of Wings, which has been selected by Oprah as the third selection for her Book Club 2.0. Welcome, Sue, and I'm so happy to have you with us on the Book Report today.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did you come across the story of Sarah and Angelina Grimke?
Ironically enough, I had to come to New York to find out about the Grimke sisters, even though I was living in South Carolina in Charleston, where they were born. I came to the Brooklyn Museum to see the Judy Chicago Dinner Party exhibit, and I found their names on the heritage panels. These are women who've made significant contributions to Western history, and there they were.
Oh, and how did you begin researching the sisters? What sources did you use?
When I came home from that museum visit, I began to read everything I could find about them. There are a few biographies, actually, but there's one in particularly by Gerda Lerner, and when I read it, I knew I wanted to write their story in a fictional way. But I had to read a lot, really, for 6 months. I researched nonstop, it seemed like, trying to get a feel of 19th century history in Charleston, urban slavery, American slavery, the Grimke sisters themselves, and just get the whole landscape. So I was traveling to the Library of Congress and various historical societies trying to track all this down. So it was an amazing experience for me.
Well, Hetty, who is also called Handful, and her mother Charlotte, the Grimke's house slaves, they were based on actual people?
Well, in the sketchiest way, they were. Of course, Sarah and Angelina are historical figures who were the first female abolition agents in America and some of our early women's rights pioneers. But Handful, Hetty Handful, was an enslaved girl in the Grimke household who was given to Sarah as a waiting maid. I mean, Sarah grew up in this wealthy slaveholding family in Charleston, and she was given this present of a human present. And all we really know about this girl was that she was taught to read and by Sarah, and they were caught and punished, and then she died very young. So I suppose she is based on a real person, though her life is completely fictionalized.
Now, why the title, The Invention of Wings?
Well, I wanted to portray a sense of flight, the quest for freedom. The novel is really about two women questing for freedom in very different ways. You know, a white privileged woman who has no rights, who's vastly limited because of her gender. And then, of course, Handful, this enslaved woman who is questing for even a more powerful need for freedom. And I wanted to find a title that would carry that. And I stumbled on this wonderful African-American folk tale about people in Africa being able to fly and then losing their wings when they were enslaved and then trying to get them back. So it comes out of that.
The Grimke sisters, as you alluded to before, were ardent speakers against abolition, and they traveled extensively in support of their cause. But gradually, they moved into also supporting women's rights, yet they met with opposition in this blending of causes. How so?
Well, they were the ones who linked women's rights and abolition for the first time. You know, it was interesting to me in my research to discover that it was in fighting for the rights of others that women in this country discovered their own oppression. And Angelina and Sarah felt that if they could just speak in the public sphere about, you know, with their anti-slavery doctrines and oratory, that they could do so much more, but they were limited. Women didn't, at that time, they didn't speak outside the domestic sphere publicly to what they call mixed audiences. And I'm talking gender here, not speaking to men in a public, social, political way. So that was the barrier they were really trying to break.
Hmm. Did the Grimke sisters actually befriend Lucretia Mott?
They knew of her, yes. I took that connection they had in Philadelphia, which was, I don't know the extent of that friendship, but they belonged to the same Quaker meeting, and they definitely knew each other. And Lucretia Mott, I think they visited, and Lucretia Mott was in some ways affected and influenced by Sarah Grimke and her sister's writings and life. But I took it and extrapolated a great deal more into it, grafting on some imagination in that relationship.
Hmm. I was fascinated by the character of Denmark Vesey. Tell us a little about him.
Well, I was fascinated, too. I have to say, he was a very charismatic, free black who lived in Charleston at the time that my novel is set. And he plotted the largest slave insurrection in America. And it failed, but if it hadn't failed, I mean, we would all know that name very readily, I think, because it was quite a plot that he put together. And I wanted to entwine that plot with the lives of my character, Handful, and her mother, Charlotte.
What year was that about his uprising?
It was in the making for years, but in the early 1820s, around there.
Hmm. You describe several torture methods that were inflicted on the slaves, the treadmill, the truss, the iron muzzle. So horrible. I mean, how commonplace were these?
Well, it's hard to say how frequently they were used, but they were certainly real, unfortunately. Horrific ways of punishment and controlling the enslaved population at the time. I didn't know about these workhouses until I began researching, and I discovered that they were in urban centers in the South, and these were places where slaves could actually be sent and punished for a fee, which is incredibly disturbing to imagine this. But there were other forms of punishment besides floggings.
Hmm.
I mean, there were all kinds of iron contraptions, birdcage contraptions that could be put over the head or muzzles. And how frequently that was used, these other methods were used, I don't know. But make no mistake, I mean, it was often used, yes.
Right. And even Sarah's mother employed some horrifying torture methods right there on her own property.
Yes. You know, there's no historical evidence of exactly what kind of punishment she used on her slaves, but I do know from biography of Sarah and Angelina that their mother was a difficult woman who often gave common punishments, it said, to her slaves. So I think she was one of those typical Bells who was supportive of the slave system and did everything she could to keep that system in place using, I mean, very cruel treatment sometimes.
Hmm. Handful's mother expressed herself through quilting. Can you share a little bit about that story?
Yes. I wanted to put a story quilt into the novel because Handful's mother, Charlotte, was an illiterate woman who really wanted to preserve and express her story. And storytelling is an important part of this novel, that need we have to take the disparate parts of our lives and stitch them together in a whole and have our lives witness, so to speak, or to create meaning out of our story. I think this was an instinct and a need that my character had. And so she takes her needle and thread, and she creates a visual memoir by telling the story of her life in quilt squares.
Any final thoughts about your book?
You know, the themes of race and gender are very large in this novel, but it's also, I think, a story about searching for our selfhood and our voice and then the courage to express it in the world.
Right. I mean, one of my favorite passages in your book was spoken by Sarah, and she said, "I couldn't have explained then how the oak tree lives inside the acorn, or how I suddenly realized that in some enigmatic way, something lived inside of me, the woman I would become."
Yes. I mean, we all have that, don't we?
Yes.
That part of ourselves that wants to grow and become. And the difficulty sometimes is finding a way to let that happen, and it usually comes down to a lot of courage, and it did for Sarah. She had to find her way with that against enormous odds, but she does invent her wings just as Handful does.
Absolutely. Sue, thank you so much for joining us today. I loved your book, and I would encourage everyone to go pick it up. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty. Bye now.